Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. You know, many people, when they think about children in the Bible, they immediately think of the famous passage in Mark 10:14 of Jesus when He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." This is a beautiful picture of Jesus welcoming children and inviting them to not only to come to Him, but also be a part of His kingdom message and plan. But the New Testament isn't the only place where we find teaching in God's Word about God's view of children and the issue of salvation. We need to begin where the Bible begins, in the Old Testament, beginning in the early pages in Genesis. In Genesis, we see the importance almost immediately of passing on one's faith to the children. How did Abel know the right way to approach and worship God through bringing a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins? It was clearly because his parents, Adam and Eve, had passed on their faith in the right way to be in a right relationship with God to their children, just as God himself had first instructed and shown them. Even Cain, their firstborn son, he also knew the right way to worship and walk with God, but he chose not to follow God's way and follow his own way instead. On down through the book of Genesis, we see the godly seed line in operation, where faith in God and how to be in a right relationship to God and with God is being passed on to the children, the future generation. We see this from Seth down through the line to Enoch, Enoch to Methuselah, and on down to Noah, and then through the godly seed line of his son Shem, and then to eventually Abraham, who was chosen of God to be the father of the nation of Israel, God's covenant people. It's interesting to note in Genesis 18, just a year before Isaac, Abraham, and Sarah's promised son would be born, that the Lord himself came to Abraham in a pre-incarnate form of a man and visited with Abraham and had a conversation with him. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Then in the very next verse, in verse 19, we read the reason why the Lord was going to entrust to Abraham all of these blessings. The Lord continues to talking for Abraham to hear, saying, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Here we see the very reason, the heart of why Abraham was chosen of God to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. It was because God knew that Abraham would raise his children from an early age to know and walk in the way of the Lord and all of his household. This gives marriage and parenting and the whole purpose of raising children to know and walk with God a whole new perspective, a biblical perspective that is stated by the Lord God himself. Almost always in all of our CEF initial teacher training classes, we begin not with CEF methodology and children's ministry demonstrations, but we begin by looking at the Bible, at the biblical basis from God's Word of what God has to say about children and their need of knowing Him, their salvation. In the Old Testament, there are three main passages that talk about children and their need to come to know and walk with God from an early age, starting with the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the apex of all the Old Testament commandments that is known by both Jews and Christians alike as the Great Commandment. Beginning in verse 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." But don't stop there. Listen to the next few verses. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then in verse 7, we have the explicit and detailed commandment given to us by God himself that says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We need to first back up and remember the context of the whole book of Deuteronomy, that this was a second giving of the law, the rehearsing of the whole law again in the ears of Israel by Moses, right before Moses would die, and then Joshua would then take over and then lead the children of Israel into the promised land where they had been wandering in the wilderness and waiting for 40 years because of Israel's sin and disobedience. The whole point of the book of Deuteronomy is that the Lord is laying out before his people the blessings and the cursings that await them, and the very heart of the matter was the whole nation of Israel, man, woman, boy, and girl, was to wholly love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and warning them what would happen to them if they didn't. God wanted to bless his people and all the future generations, but God's umbrella of protection for them was for each generation to come to know him, love him, obey him, and serve him, and then to pass on their faith to their children so that the future generation would also know, love, obey, and serve him too. This was God's blessing and protection plan in the promised land for every generation. You know, every time I read these words, I'm reminded again that I am not here to live for myself and just focus on me and my relationship with God. Yes, I need to be constantly growing in my love for God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength, but not just for my relationship with God, but so that I can pass on my faith to the next generation, the future generation, my children, teaching them to know, love, obey, and serve him too. That's why I am here, and that's why you are here, to pass on to others our love for God so they will also come to love God too. And that passing on, teaching diligently, must first begin with our children, so that our children and the children to come would know and love God. If you think that this is just a fluke passage found here in the book of Deuteronomy, I would invite you to look at the whole book of Deuteronomy again. The same teaching on the importance of passing on our faith to our children is repeated four different times in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and chapter 6 and chapter 11 and chapter 31, not to mention a few other verses scattered throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy. Children were an important and vital people group mentioned again and again in the ears of all of Israel, and their future faithfulness in the land depended on the future generations knowing and loving God. So the question is, how well did Israel do in teaching their children to know and love God after they entered the promised land? The answer is good, for a while, until we hit the book of Judges, where everything begins to fall apart and Israel relapses again and again into sin and disobedience like a recurring cycle in an unending drama. But how could this happen? The book of Judges tells us how in another passage in Judges chapter 2. Beginning in verse 7, we read that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And then going to verse 10, we read, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." One pastor recently said to me, "These are some of the most saddest words in all the Bible. A whole generation grew up not even knowing who the Lord is." My friends, this is what we call a huge generation gap, and this is what happens when Deuteronomy chapter 6 is not followed and when one generation fails to pass on their faith and faith in God to the next generation. What is amazing to me, though, is that it wasn't that many generations in between the generations of the Exodus events and this generation that we read about here in Judges chapter 2. That means within three or four generations at the most between the Exodus from Egypt, the Red Sea parting, Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, all the miracles of manna, water, and meat in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Jordan River crossing, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and all the other battles that we read about in the Promised Land for conquering it, that somewhere down the line, another generation grew up not even knowing who the God of Israel was. That's almost unbelievable to me, but it happened. And not only did it happen once, but it continued to happen all throughout the Old Testament, even down to the Jewish people today who do not know their God and their promised Savior. But when I read the Bible and all the ways that God has clearly revealed himself to the Jewish people, I only have one takeaway. If this could happen to the nation of Israel, the people who knew the living God, who were given the very word of God, the oracles of God, the prophets, and all the covenant promises and the promise of the coming Savior, how much more can it happen to any nation anywhere on the face of the earth today? The truth is, it has already happened in history, and it is happening right now here in our country in America before our very eyes. Look at Great Britain today and all of Europe. At one time, Europe was a hotbed of the Christian faith, from the reformers of the Protestant Reformation down through all the heroes of the Christian faith, including all the missionaries who went out from Europe in the 18th and 19th century to almost every corner of the earth proclaiming the gospel. But where is Europe today? They are spiritually dead and need to hear the gospel message and to be re-evangelized again. And now it looks like that our country, America, is on the same post-Christian fast track as Europe. Many missionologists, people who study about missions, have only one question. Will the United States of America follow Europe in almost a wholesale rejection of biblical Christianity and instead do what is right in their own eyes in the way Europe has gone? Will America, like Europe, fully embrace religious pluralism, continue down the path of obsessive materialism with tolerance for all, accept the Judeo-Christian biblical moral values, and scoff and continue to scoff at believers who hold to the inerrant word of God and the narrow view of salvation in Christ alone? I don't know if we know all the answers to those questions yet, but I do know the answer to the decline of the Christian faith, to turn it back around and bring us back into a right relationship with God again, and it's found here in God's Word. God wants everyone, everywhere, including and even beginning with the children in every generation, to come to know Him, love Him, obey Him, and serve Him, and then to pass on their faith to each succeeding generation and for the generations to come. They say when you reach a child, you're not just reaching one child, you're reaching a multiplication table. And that is exactly what the third main passage in the Old Testament, Psalm 78, is all about, reaching and teaching the future generations. I've shared before on this radio program about Psalm 78. In fact, our opening debut program was specifically on Psalm 78, which I believe is one of the most clearest passages in all the Old Testament about the purpose of teaching children. Listen to Psalm 78, verses 4 and 7, and note how many times it mentions children and what is that God wants us to be communicating to our children, the future generations. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And then listen to these next two verses and hear God's heartbeat and God's desire for every future generation, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And then the climax, found in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Let's break this down in Psalm 78. What is it saying? What is it that we are to be teaching our children, the future generations, found here in this passage? First, we are to be teaching them who the Lord is, His person, His strength, and all the wonderful works that He has done, so they would know who God is. Second, we need to teach children God's commandments, God's word. Why? So that the children will understand first who God is, that's the doctrine of God, and then who they are, the doctrine of man, understand that they are a sinner separated from holy God who has fallen short of God's holy standard and has broken God's holy commands because of their sin. And this then leads us to the ultimate purpose of teaching children that's found here in Psalm 78, verse 7. Listen to it again, that they might set their hope in God. The ultimate purpose of teaching children is not education, entertainment, or for the child's own puffed-up knowledge of Scripture. The purpose of teaching children according to God's Word is so they would set their hope in God both now and for eternity. This is spiritual life transformation. This is spiritual rebirth, where a child, just like an adult or anyone, comes to set their personal hope, their personal faith, their personal trust in God. That's salvation both in the Old Testament and that salvation in the New Testament. Salvation is always, whether in the old or in the new, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ the promised Redeemer alone. This is God's salvation that every generation, every person, regardless of their age, and specifically and even beginning with the children, the future generation, that they would set their hope in Him. There are so many other verses that we can mention that talk about the importance of teaching children to know and walk with the Lord, just from the Old Testament scriptures alone. But I love the way the Old Testament closes, reminding us again that the teaching of children and child's relationship with God is never an afterthought with God, but is the primary and of first importance to God next to our own relationship with Him. Listen how the Old Testament scriptures closes until we come 400 years later to the time of Christ and the Gospels. The Old Testament closes with these words, "And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers." God is our Heavenly Father, and ultimately through God turning our hearts to Him, God wants to so work in us so that our hearts turning towards God, and then our hearts would turn to the hearts of our children so that the future generation would know and love God too, turning their hearts to Him. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations as we continue looking again, even next week, at what God's Word has to say in the New Testament about children coming to know Him. Why? So that the generation to come might set their hope in Him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again.